come before thee today because thou hast called us before thee. Thou hast called us in Jesus Christ to approach thee and there to be blessed. We are met here today for the purpose of being in thy presence and of being ministered to by thy redeeming love. As we're gathered in the warmth of this fellowship, we remember those of our number who are distressed, who are burdened, who are grieved at this hour. We know thee as a God who moves among those who are in need. We know thee as one who comes to make new that which has been broken. Minister now according to thy law and thy wisdom. We remember today those of our brothers who are met in convention to do thy work. We pray that they might see clearly, act wisely, and do all things in order to honor thy name. We remember our Father, the Community of Nations today, a community that is torn asunder by pride, by arrogance. We pray that as in times past, thou wilt do thy work among the nations of the world, and where there is discord, bring peace. Continue to be with us now as we wait before thee and as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading of the morning comes from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, else the journey will be too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. And there he came to a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, and thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." May God give us insight to understand his written word. Of the many roles which the minister plays, the role of prophet is perhaps the most susceptible to the emotions of despair and loneliness. Few of us lack completely the prophetic spirit. This spirit is especially alive in this seminary community. One of the proper functions of the church is to speak prophetically to the world. One of the proper functions of the seminary is to speak prophetically to the world and to the church. The prophetic spirit is harmonious with youth, with learning, with new adventures of the mind and spirit. The prophetic task by its very nature is a difficult one. It is difficult because of the obstacles it faces and the distinctive dangers it involves. The prophet sets himself against that which the rest of the world has come to accept as the given order of life. The sins to which others have become accustomed are the particular object of the prophet's ire. The established order, with its ingrained and accepted evil, does not gain the allegiance of the prophet. Those common injustices and perversions with which others have made peace, the prophet decries with passion. This prophetic task, by its very nature, invites despair and loneliness. The prophet, you see, is pitted against the status quo, the institutional, the accepted. It is little wonder that the prophetic spirit of hope and certainty is often matched by the gloom of despair. There is Luther, with his certain cry, "Here I stand." And there is Luther with his periods of deep and dark depression. There is the Elijah who stood with courage in the face of the false gods of his day. And there is the Elijah who crouched in paralyzing fear in his cave, wishing that he were dead. The prophet who sets out with dreams of overturning the world soon encounters the stubborn inertia of sin. This is a rude shock. The dream of quick conquest for God becomes a long nightmare of defeats and disappointments. The prophet despairs. Many of you, in whom the prophetic spirit is real, despair in the face of its task. Some of you have shared with me and with others in this community of faith something of your despair. There were your dreams of a harmonious and united service to God, which have met the hard reality of dissension within the church. There are dreams of long strides toward justice and mercy in our land, which become entangled in the undergrowth of indifference, vested interest, and denominational politics. What do we do in the face of such disappointments? I could say that things are not as bad as they seem. There would be some truth in this assertion. However, not enough truth to meet the needs of today's despairing prophet. If the prophet is to find a sure foundation for his hope, it must be in something other than the institutions and persons of his day. I told some of you of an encounter which I had several years ago. A man who, when he learned that I was a Baptist minister, confessed to me that approximately 25 years prior to our meeting, he too had been a Baptist minister. A young man who set out with dreams of a fruitful ministry. One thing after another disappointed him within the church. The final blow came when, at a Baptist convention, he saw in the heat of debate two of his fellow ministers come to blows. He left that convention, the ministry, and the church. I must confess that at the time of my conversation with him, there was little I could say, for I was sympathetic with his feelings. It was only after several years of pondering his story that the true significance of it came to me. Here was a man who had allowed his entire life to be determined by the acts of men at a religious convention. His life's mission and work had been molded by his response to what man had done to man. This must never happen to us. We have been called not by the activities of men, but by God in Jesus Christ. Our trust must never be in the goodness of men. Men have not saved us. Institutions have not saved us. Churches have not saved us. We are saved and called by what God has done and is doing in Jesus Christ. This call cannot be voided by man or any group of men. Now, this does not mean that we are to fulfill our call in isolation from other men or in isolation from institutions. Indeed, the good news of God's redemptive activity and our call to the prophetic ministry are mediated through men and through the institution of the church. For this, we must be eternally grateful. From this, we learn that we are to fulfill our task with others in the church. However, we do this best when we remember that the good news and our call were mediated through others in the church. The origin of our call and the basis of our hope is the unique activity of God in Jesus Christ. If this becomes the constant reality of our lives, then we no longer depend upon the assurances of the world for our security. We are freed from the world so that we are able to serve God prophetically in and through the world. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, for thy visit into our history and into our lives in Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Help us as we are buffeted by the experiences of life, by the disappointments in our ministries, to remember wherein we are called and wherein our hope lies. We thank thee for our brothers in Christ with whom we serve. We pray that thou wouldst forgive them and us as we sin in our ministries, and help us all to look beyond ourselves and the institutions we have built with our hands. Help us to look beyond these to what thou hast done and what thou art doing in Jesus Christ. For we pray this prayer in his name.